Beginning Sefer Tehillim with the Ma'am Lois commentary. This is Shir number 73. We are holding by chapter 138, Pasuk 1. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to this Shir online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. And may also the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon and Hinda Manila, a blessed memory. Again, we're holding with chapter 138, Pasuk 1. The David Odcha B'chol Libi Neged Elohim Azamercha. Psalm of David, I will give thanks to you with all my heart. In the presence of the mighty, I will sing to you. David composed the present psalm in thanksgiving to Hashem for all the good that he bestowed upon him. I will give thanks to you with all my heart. I will not merely speak from the lips outward, but from the depth of my heart. In the presence of the mighty men, I will sing to you with every kind of musical instrument. This may be clarified by reference to the following episode involving the Shach of Shavsai Kohn. One time he left his house without wearing an outer garment and walked to the marketplace. Deep in thought on some Torah matter, he did not notice that he had come out of his house. I kept walking, totally absorbed. His manservant came after him carrying the garment, and from a distance saw the shach halt suddenly before a shop selling a variety of fruits. Right in front was a tray filled with raisins. Lost in contemplation and thinking that he was still seated in his own house, the shach scooped up some of the raisins, pronounced the appropriate bracha, and began to eat. When the Gentile shopkeeper saw this, he was filled with rage and struck the shach on the hand with a knife until blood flowed. But the shach took no notice. At that very instant, the Gentile fainted away and lay there like a corpse on the floor of his shop. The Gentiles all around saw what happened, and they understood that the attacker had been punished for striking the rav. They began to implore him, kiss his hand, beg him to forgive the Gentile, not to let him die. Brought out of his revere, the shach asked what this was all about, and the manservant told him, whereupon he approached the Gentile and raised him. The Gentile then asked him for forgiveness. Hashem's name was sanctified on that occasion. In this episode about the shach, we have one instance where, due to deep absorption in thought, the person fails to notice what is happening around him. Similarly, the Talmud relates about Reish Lakish that once he was so absorbed in thought that he almost walked on the Shabbos beyond the permitted distance. This is what David HaMelech says here. I will give thanks to you with all my heart. So wholeheartedly do I thank you that in the presence of the Almighty I will sing to you. Even when I am in the presence of kings, I will sing to you. I will pay no heed to them. Some say that Elohim here refers to the angels. David told the angels to keep silent, not to offer praise to the Almighty until he had concluded his song of thanksgiving. That is to say, David took precedence over them, was greater on account of his being imbued with free choice. Others say, in the presence of the mighty, I will sing to you. When princesses are praised, the praise is exaggerated. But all praises directed at you are less than little compared to what one can say in praise of you. Thus for you, silence is praise. Another interpretation is based on the teaching of the sacred books that the way to nullify decrees from on high, or to reduce their harshness, is to be in a state of joy and glad-heartedness. Thus the Torah says, I will give thanks to you with all my heart. Against the attribute of judgment, Elohim, I will sing to you through music and songs of praise. Pasuk 2. Eshtachaveh el heichal kachcho v'ode eshemecha al chastecho v'al mitecha ki galto al kol shimcho imbasechem. I will prostrate myself towards your holy sanctuary and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have exalted your utterance promise beyond your name. I will prostrate myself in the direction of your holy sanctuary where the Shekhinah is present. I will give thanks to your name for your loving kindness towards me that you performed without having promised to do so. I will also give thanks to your name for having fulfilled that which you did promise, for your truth. Thereby you have exalted your utterance promise beyond your name. You are not my kings of flesh and blood, who are praised more than befits their excellence. Your utterance that which can properly be said about you is very much, for you have exalted your utterance beyond your name. What can be said about you? The name you are called by men is less than everything about you. Having spoken earlier about giving thanks through speech, the singer now also mentions acts of thanksgiving. I will prostrate myself towards your holy sanctuary. I will give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. It is not possible to praise Hashem himself, for we have no conception whatsoever of Hashem as himself. We can only praise his actions, his loving kindness and truth. Whether you perform loving kindness or whether you act with firm justice, I do not thank you because of what has pleased me. Rather, I give thanks because you have exalted your utterance beyond your name. The Medrash writes that Yeshayahu said, "The grass withers, the flower fades." The Jewish people said, "We fear our enemies." Hashem said, "The enemies are grass, and during the entire time of their existence you fear them. But now they have perished, for a wind passes over it, and it is gone. So of whom are you fearful? Lift up your voice with strength." Another pasuk is found in Yeshayahu. Klal Yisrael said, "When do we extol? When you pay back the wicked. At that moment I will give thanks to you with all my heart. When I merit to be redeemed, I will give thanks to your name, both for your loving kindness and for your truth, that is, for the suffering. For you have exalted your utterance beyond your name. You exalted your name also when you brought suffering upon me. Thus you said to the destroying angel, 'It is enough, stay now your hand.'" Pasuk that's found in Shmuel Beis. "You did not pay me back in accordance with my sin." The Medrash also says that when the hall of the Beis Hamikdash and its sanctuary will be built, at that moment you will have exalted your promise beyond your name. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, will then say to Hashem, "You have exalted yourself beyond what you said to us through prophecy, and beyond what you said, and it will come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh," a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yoel. "And it will come to pass on that day that the mountains will drop down sweet wine, and the hills will flow with milk. You did for us more and yet more." David HaMelech also alludes to the promise of kingship. "Everyone said that kingship will not come to me, but you have exalted your utterance, you promise beyond your name. You declare and you do. You decree and fulfill. Everyone says, 'Great is Hashem,' because you do everything that you utter." Pasuk 3. "Beyom karasi betaneni tarhiveni Nafshi Oz. On the day that I called, you answered me. You inspired me with strength in my soul. So greatly attentive was your supervision of me. On the day that I called, you answered me at once. This inspired me with strength in my soul. I was strengthened in my faith, for I knew that there is none besides you." It's a pasuk that's found in the Shmuel Beis, who sees and supervises humankind. "On the day that I was in trouble and kept wondering, I called to you and you answered me. When I was in distress, you answered me with a liberating expansion. You inspired me with strength in my soul to have faith in you. For I knew that there is no God like you. You see and attend to human affairs. On the day that I called, you answered me. You inspired me with strength in my soul. Whether you answer me with well-being or heaven forfend with the opposite, the very fact that you answered me strengthens my heart, and I welcome everything with joy. It is the way of kings to respond to a call only after much time has passed. Even then, there are times when they cannot help, as we find in the case of Yehoram in Melachim Beis, 'But you answered me on the day that I called.'" Pasuk 4. Yodu Hashem kol malchei oret kishamu imrei ficha. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Hashem, for they have heard the utterances of your mouth. When I will call and you answer me, all the kings of the earth will hear about it, and they will give thanks to you, O Hashem, for they have heard the utterances of your mouth. David HaMelech says regarding his kingship, "All the kings came to know that I was forced to wander in order to escape Saul's campaign to kill me. So when they now see me as king, they will give thanks to you for having elevated me from distress and fulfilled your promise to me. If in Golus, in exile, the name of Hashem was profaned, as redemption there will be a sanctification of his name. Indeed, even all the kings of the earth will then give thanks to his name." Our sages have expounded, the kings of the earth heard two things from Hashem. and they rose from their thrones to give thanks. And Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael and said, I am Hashem your God, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemosim by the Seres Adibris. The kings of the world said, he speaks as we do. What king wants to have another deny him? And so also the Almighty. When he said, you shall have no other gods, they said, what king wants to have a partner to his reign? So also Hashem, when he said, you should not take the name of Hashem, your God, in vain, they said, what king wants his people to swear falsely using his name? And so also the Almighty, when he said, remember the Shabbos, they said, what king wants his people not to honor the Shabbos days? But when Hashem said, honor your father and your mother, they said, according to our laws and customs, he who enlists as an arms bearer for the king must renounce his parents. But this one proclaims, honor your father and your mother. Then they acknowledged him and offered thanks. Ula expounded at the entrance to the president's residence. It does not say the utterance of your mouth. It says the utterances of your mouth. When Hashem said, I am Hashem your God, you shall have no other gods, the nations of the world said, he speaks for the sake of his own honor. But when he said, honor your father and your mother, they repented and also acknowledged the first commandments. Rava says, from here we deduce that the beginning of your word is truth. From the end of your word, the latter commandments, it is evident that the beginning of your word, the former commandments, is truth. Pasuk 5. V'yashiru b'darche Hashem, ki gadol kavod Hashem. Yes, they will sing all the ways of Hashem, for great is the glory of Hashem. Then they will sing praises about the ways of Hashem, his attributes and deeds, for great is the glory of Hashem. God's glory is great over all his creatures. That is, men will declare that all they had uttered in praise of him is but a tiny bit of his praises. Until that time, the Jewish people said, our hand is high, and Hashem has not done all this. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. But from now on they will sing of the ways of Hashem, for at the outset they were punished, but now they will be redeemed. After they receive their punishment, they will be his people and his inheritance. All the greats of the earth will give thanks to you, O Hashem, for they have heard the utterances of your mouth. They will hear the accounts of the Torah. They will read about the arrogance of Paro, about his dream, and about the turn of events involving Yosef, about how Yaakov and his sons then came down to Mitzrayim in order to cause the eventual downfall of Paro. Thus they will sing of the ways of Hashem, for great is the glory of Hashem. Until then they thought that the Almighty did not attend to men below. It's also indicated that even in Golis, whenever a new Torah scroll is brought into the shul, the people accompany it through the streets with song and music. They will sing of the ways of Hashem. They do not fear what the Gentiles will say, for great is the glory of Hashem. Pasuk 6. Kiram Hashem b'shefel yireh v'govoh mimerchok yeda. For though Hashem is high, yet he sees the lowly, and what is high he makes known from afar. Among the sum total of their praises they will also say, for though Hashem is high, yet he sees the lowly. Though Hashem is high and lofty, as found in the pasuk in Shayohu, he attends to the ones below, and what is high he makes known from afar. From the distant heavens he makes known his ways to human beings. Some explain Yeda to mean chastised, as in and with them he chastised the men of Sukkos, pasuk that's found in Sefer Shoftim. The corresponding interpretation of the present pasuk thus reads, and the haughty, the gover, he chastises from afar, mimerchok yoda. The sages teach in the Talmud, come and see that that attribute of Hashem is not like the measure of flesh and blood. It is the way of men of high stature to see those who are high, but they do not see the lowly. But the attribute of Hashem is different. Hashem is high, yet he sees the lowly. What is more, Hashem does not look at a man who is arrogant, just as a man would not look at another man whom he hates since his youth. What does doubling the letter Yud in Yodeya signify? Actually, the word is Yeyedo, because it says a double yud. Hashem says, any man who is possessed by a haughty spirit is as if cursed in both worlds. There is a similar interpretation of the utterance of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. I saw men of high stature, and they are ma'atim. That is to say, how did they merit to be men of high stature? For in their own eyes they were small and humble. The usual reading of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's words says, I saw men of high stature, and they are few. Pasuk 7. Elach bekerav tzora, techayeni al af oyevai tishlach yodecha, so she'eni yiminecha. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you revive me. You extend your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand saves me. Now the singer explains the way of divine supervision over the individual. Though I walk in the midst of trouble all around me, you revive me and save me. For behold, you punish those of haughty hearts. You extend your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand saves me. You revive me despite the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand saves me. It is thus as if you bring me deliverance with both your hands. Now I know that Almighty extends His supervision everywhere. I go so in the midst of trouble. My heart will not fear. I literally walk in the midst of the trouble that envelops me round about. Nevertheless, in spite of my enemy's wrath, extend your hand and save me. Pasuk 8. Hashem yigmor ba'adi Hashem chastucho la'olam ma'aseh yodecho al-teref. May Hashem complete His purpose towards me. Your loving kindness, O Hashem, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. May Hashem complete His purpose towards me. May He fully fulfill His promised word that your loving kindness will forever be with me. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Do not lessen your loving kindness towards me, who am your handiwork, for it is the way of the artisan to be compassionate towards his art. The singer mentions three reasons for his deliverance. For one, may Hashem from his side complete his purpose towards me. Secondly, your loving kindness, O Hashem, endures forever. Thirdly, you have already initiated my deliverance, so do not forsake the work of your hands. Continue what you have begun, for that is always your way, even as Hashem has begun by bestowing well-being upon me, so may Hashem complete His purpose towards me. May your loving kindness, O Hashem, stay with me forever. May there never again arise an oppressor to distress Israel. This also alludes to the final deliverance. It will never be followed by another enslavement. Chapter 139, Pasuk 1. Namnatzeach LeDavid Mizmor Hashem Chakatani V'Teda. For the conductor, a psalm of David, O Hashem, you have searched me and you know. In the present psalm, David speaks about individual divine supervision in this lowly world. This teaches us that one cannot flee from Hashem, conceal oneself from His presence. Hence it refutes the view of those who say that Hashem of Yaakov does not understand our thoughts. Accordingly, the Tanna said, He is the Maker, He is the Creator, and He understands. David begins by declaring, O Hashem, you have searched me and you know. You examine my heart and know it. As it says, I, Hashem, search the heart, I test the inner parts, a pasuk that is found in Yirmiyahu. You have searched me and you know. Compare it to a king who was also an architect. He arrived in a certain part of the country and built a great fortified city with towers reaching high and caverns underground. If an enemy should capture the towers, the inhabitants would still have a place to hide. Sometime later, the people rebelled against the king. As the king's armies approached, they said, We will hide in the caverns. The king said to them, But I built those caverns for you, and no place is hidden from me. How do you expect to hide yourselves in the caverns? By analogy, man is a creation of God, and assuredly he knows all his concealed places. You have searched me, and you know. Some say that David was speaking about his enemies, who accused him of a double-dealing heart. Thus we find that Shimi ben Geri said, as found in Shmuel Beis, come out, you bloody man, and you base man. Accordingly, he turns to Hashem with a plea. You have searched me, and you know. You know if indeed there are those vicious thoughts ascribed to me by malicious men. Pasuk 2. Ato yodato shifti vikumi banto lerei mirochok. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. Having said in a general way, you have searched me and you know, the singer says, you know my sitting down and my rising up, the external things that all can see. And you also know the hidden thoughts within my heart long before I think them. You understand my thoughts from afar. The term rei is linked to rayon, a thought. This also alludes to man's freedom of choice. David HaMelech says, you have searched me and I know that I'm free to choose, even though you know everything beforehand by a clear and absolute knowledge. This is a wondrously paradoxical matter that is concealed from man's grasp. Although Hashem already knows everything from the outset, this does not deprive man of his free choice. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You know how the body functions so that it can sit and stand. For you have formed the organs of the body with marvelous wisdom that only you know. I do not know it. The Medrash says, you know that when I dwelt in well-being, I did not forget you. Similarly, it says, and it came to pass that the king sat in his house, and Hashem had given him rest round about from all his enemies, a pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. Yet, that was when David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. You also know that when I rose to flee from before Absalom, I did not cry out to you in protest. Instead, I composed a psalm. Psalm of David, when he fled from his son Absalom. Rabbi Yehuda says that the present psalm was composed by the Adam, that is, was said about all mankind. The Medrash says further, thus had David spoken before Hashem. You know my sitting down and my rising up. What is more, every step I will ever tread is already revealed to you. Similarly, the Torah says in Iyov, for now you number my steps. You know this not only from now and into the future, but ever since I came into the world. For there is not a word on my tongue, yet behold, O Hashem, you knew it all. There is neither a song, nor a rendition, nor a conversation that I will utter in the future, which is not already revealed before you. A subtle interpretation says that David is talking about the Jewish people, who are in the category of brothers and comrades to Hashem. Thus he says, speaking for Israel, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You know each and every individual within the holy Jewish people, for you examine the hearts and the inner parts of every person. What is more, you understand my thought from afar. You know all their thoughts, and thus know whether they are towards you. You understand my thought from afar, even when a Jew is very far from Hashem. He knows that certainly it is his desire to heed the will of his Maker. Pasuk 3. Orchi v'rivi zeriso v'chol derochai his kanto. You encompass my path and my repose, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Having said, you know my sitting down and my rising up, the singer now speaks about walking and lying down. You encompass my walking path and my repose. That is to say, you supervise and look upon them. And you are acquainted with all my ways. You are in the habit, as it were, of knowing all my ways. You do not overlook a thing. Another possible reading of his canto is, you have closed in. Everyone is enclosed within your hand and known to you. You know my walking path during the day and my repose by my lying down at night. You encompass, you know all my movements, for you are round about my body and my dwelling. The term Zeris is linked to Zor, a crown or rim, as found in Chumash Shemos, a rim of gold round about. You are acquainted with all my ways. This alludes to the five senses. The pasuk alludes to the marvelous harmony in the functioning of the different organs. They all obey a man's will, even though he does not know how they work. Our sages have expounded, this teaches us that a person is not formed out of the whole sperm, only out of the clearest part of it. In the academy of Rabbi Shmuel, it was taught, compare it to a man who spreads out grains in his house, picks up the edible food, and leaves the dross. Pasuk 4. Ki ein mila bilshoni hein Hashem yodato chula. For there is not a word on my tongue, yet behold, O Hashem, you knew it all. Here the singer refers to the divine supervision over speech. for there is not a word on my tongue. I have not yet uttered a single word with my tongue. Yet behold, O Hashem, you knew it all. You already know the thought that I intend to express. Having said that Hashem knows a man's every outer movement, the singer goes on to speak about Hashem's knowledge of man's soul. He begins with his knowledge of man's thought. Thus he says, for there is not a word on my tongue before I had brought forth the thought into speech. You already knew the thought. A third interpretation says, although you already knew my thought prior to my having uttered it, I did not know it, even though I had thought it. As it says, the thoughts of the heart are man's, but from Hashem comes the utterance of the tongue, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Mishlei. Pasuk 5. Ochor vekedem sartoni vatoshes olai kapechem. You fashioned me, hedged me in back and front, and laid your hand upon me. You fashioned, formed all my organs back and front, and laid your hand upon me. Like an artist's hand yielding a paintbrush, so have you placed your hand upon me and fashioned me. Some link the word sartani to metzor, a blockade. Hence the pasuk reads, you hedge me in back and front, and I cannot make a move independently of your will. Our sages referred this description to the creation of Adam. A subtle interpretation says, any time I am in back of you, that is, I place myself at a distance from you and deflect my intellect from cleaving to you, I am immediately in front of you, I am in excellent condition for repentance. This knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high, I cannot attain it. The human being is frail in body, but strong in intellect. Thus the Torah says, you fashion me back inferior in body, but in front, ahead of other creatures in intellect. You laid your hand upon me, so that fear of Hashem be upon my head. Hashem formed man to be always changing, to be incapable of remaining stationary in the same condition he happens to be in. He must be in front, advancing and perfecting himself, or else in back, falling ever lower. Thus it says, you fashion me back and front. The term sartani is also linked to tzoror, a bundle, as in a bundle of money, and the corresponding interpretation reads, you have bound me so that I would not ponder what is ahead of me in front and what is behind me in back. You laid your hand upon me so that I would not ponder what is above. Pasuk 6. Klei das mi meni niskeva lo uchala. This knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high, I cannot attain it. Everything I've said earlier about special divine providence that you attend to your creatures, as we learned from the first four psukim in our chapter, individually, that is too wonderful a matter for me. And it is hidden from me. It is too high. I cannot attain such knowledge of Hashem. This may also be interpreted as referring to the formation of the body. Pasuk says, this knowledge is too wonderful for me. The way the body is formed to endure the presence of cold and heat, moisture and dryness, and the mix of both, that is a great wonder. Another interpretation says, David was astonished that anyone could be distant from cleaving to Hashem. Wonder is separation or estrangement. Knowledge is cleaving. He would say about himself, but as for me, the nearness of Hashem is my good. He cleaved to God at all times and was astonished at people who kept far away from him. How can that be, he would say, when no place is empty of him? Thus he goes on to say, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? Or as the poet said, where shall I find you, and where shall I not find you? Pasuk 7. Ona eilech miruchecha ve'ona mipenecha ebrach. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? Having depicted Hashem's knowledge of man's bodily dispositions, his every movement, where and when he travels, and his qualities, the singer thus goes on to say here, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? Some explain, if you be angry with me, where shall I go from your anger? Or where shall I flee from your presence? I cannot elude you when walking at a calm pace, nor will I succeed to escape you when fleeing at a run. A subtle interpretation says, where shall I go from your spirit? Were I to divest myself of the spirit of fearing Hashem, which sparkles within me, I could indeed get very far away from you and fall into the pit of perdition. Or where shall I flee from your presence? Were I to think that I could flee from you, there is no limit to how far I might be cast away from you. Pasuk 8. Im esak shamayim shom oto vatzio sh'ou hinecha. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the nether world, behold, you are there. Having said, where shall I go from your spirit? The singer says, indeed, let me ponder the different directions where I might consider fleeing. If I think that I can ascend to heaven, you are there. If I think to make my bed in the nether world, that is that I can descend into the depths of the earth and make the pit my couch, behold, you are there. The singer thus makes it clear that no place is devoid of the divine presence, the Shekhinah. It is to be found in the four geographical directions, and it is there above and below. If therefore I were to transgress your will, where would I then flee from you? The singer speaks of Ruchecha, your wind. If it is not possible to escape the wind, it is certainly not possible to flee from you. Even where there is no wind in heaven and inside the pit below ground, you are there. A subtle interpretation says, if I ascend to heaven, were I to walk among the great and wondrous things, and so think that I ascend to heaven, you are there, I would still be far away from you. There conveys distance. You would still be there, not where I am. But if I make my bed in the pit, I humble my soul until it is like dust before everyone, then behold, you are there. Hinecha, your presence is close to me. Pasuk 9. Esau chanfei shochar eshkeno be'achris yom. If I take wings of dawn, dwell in the remotest west, the sea. Pasuk 10. Gam shom yodcho sancheni v'sochzeni iminecha. Even there where your hand would guide me and your right hand would hold me. Were I to take the wings of dawn, that in one instant spread out the light from east to west, were I to take flight upon those wings, I would dwell in the remotest west, where there is only sea. I would get to the ends of the earth. The sea encompasses the earth. But even there your hand would guide me, and your right hand would hold me. I would be unable to flee from you in any direction. Pasuk 11. For Omar ach, Hoshech Yishu Feini Belailo Or Ba'adeni. If I would say, surely the darkness will envelop me, and the light about me will be night. Until now, the singer mentioned possible places where one might hide in vain. Here he speaks of hiding in certain locations on account of the darkness. If I would say in my heart, surely the darkness will envelop me in the obscurity of night, and the light about me will be night to conceal me, and I will thus be saved from your punishment, that would also be of no avail. According to our sages, David said, surely the darkness will envelop me even in the world to come, where it should be light. I thought I was doomed. Instead, even this world that is like the night is as the light upon me. The sages have expounded further that these words were spoken by the first man, Adam HaRishon. When on the eve of the Shabbos after his creation, the sun set, a special light began to shine, and everyone chanted praises to Hashem. Thus it says, and Hashem blessed the 7 day, in Chumash Bereishis. How did He bless it? He blessed it with light. That light functioned for 36 hours, for 12 hours prior to the Shabbos, for the 12 hours of the Shabbos night, and for 12 hours of the Shabbos day. When at the conclusion of the Shabbos, the darkness began to set in, Adam was overcome by dread. Thus it says here, surely the darkness will envelop me. He was afraid of the serpent, of which it says, man shall bruise your head. Whereupon Hashem summoned two stones for him, which he rubbed against each other and produced light. Adam recited a bracha over the light, and that is what it says here, then the night will be a light for me, a different rendering of the words, the Laila or Badeni. The above interpretation is in accordance with the view of Shmuel. According to him, at the conclusion of the Shabbos, we recite a bracha over a lit candle, because its light-giving fire first came into being at that time. Pasuk 12. Gam hoshech lo yachshich mimekra belaylo kayom yo'ir kachashecha ko'ora. Even the darkness does not obscure from you, and the night shines as the day. The darkness is even as the light. Another reason that I cannot successfully hide in the darkness is that even the darkness does not obscure me from you, to keep you from seeing me, for the night shines as the day, since darkness and light are the same before you. The singer keeps repeating the same thing, the darkness is even as the light, which once again stresses that no darkness or shadow of death can conceal one from Hashem. A related interpretation says, I cannot conceal my sins in the darkness. Similarly, it says, woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from Hashem. And they say, who sees us and who knows us? A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. A different interpretation says, even the darkness does not obscure from you. When a man shuts his eyes to keep from seeing the affairs of this world, which are as darkness, this will not hinder him from seeing with the eyes of his intellect. The singer goes on to bring proof by considering the fetus in its mother's womb. There it dwells in darkness, yet it sees from one end of the world to the other, as the Gemara says, and there it is taught the entire Torah. So long as the fetus does not have its eyes blinded by the vain things of this world, it sees everything. This also alludes to another deep matter. It is that a man brings upon himself the good and the bad in accordance with his deeds, for nothing evil descends from on high. Thus the Torah says here, even the darkness does not obscure from you. If darkness descends upon a person, that is due to his own deeds. The opposite obtains as well on account of one's good deeds. The night shines as the day, the darkness is even as the light. One who does dark deeds brings evil upon himself, but one who does luminous deeds brings good upon himself. Pasuk 13. Kiato keniso chilyosoi tesukeni bebeten imi. For you have fashioned my mentality, you have put me together with my mother's womb. The singer elaborates on what he said earlier. You understand my thought from afar, and the reason is that you have fashioned my mentality. He also elaborates on what he said earlier about eluding Hashem in the darkness of night. Darkness is not a place of refuge, for behold, you have put me together in my mother's womb. Inside that dark place, you fashioned my bones and sinews. Pasuk 14. Odecha al ki no ro os neflesi nifloi mazecha benafshi yodavs me'od. I will give thanks to you, for I am awesomely and wondrously made. Wondrous are your works, and my soul knows very well. Having recalled that you have put me together in my mother's womb with bones and sinews, the singer says that the very formation of the child is a thing of great wonder. He is astonished at the incredibly vast wisdom included in the newborn. I will give thanks to you, for I am awesomely and wondrously made. Wondrous are your works. I thank you for the wonderful way I am made, and my soul knows very well. You have formed my body wondrously, and also given me an intellectual soul to be aware of this. You revealed to the wise how every organ was created with sufficient wisdom for its efficient function, and this knowledge should be in everyone's possession. For one that becomes aware of Hashem's wonders and gives expression to his gratitude. Thus Eov said, from my flesh I will see God, that is to say, in the plan of my body and the wisdom of its formation, I behold Hashem's craftsmanship. David Melech also alludes to all the good that Hashem bestowed upon him while he was in his mother's womb. You have fashioned my mentality, refers to the teaching of our sages, that a lamp is lit in the head of the fetus and he's taught the entire Torah. He's then made to forget it at birth. He also refers to the teaching that the fetus sees from one end of the world to the other, and so concludes that wondrous are your works. Although at birth the child is made to forget the Torah, thus learn that's only a physical forgetting by the body. My soul knows very well what it has been taught. I will give thanks to you, for I am awesomely and wondrously made. You have distinguished me from the formation of all other living creatures. Although wondrous are your works in all living things, there is yet this difference that my soul knows very well. The wonder of my soul, that it is an intellectual faculty, is very great. The Singha also refers here to the marvelous fact that every newborn is created with a different face. This is a great wonder, for even though all are forged with the same seal, nevertheless their faces are different. Only the soul, being a spiritual entity, knows the secret of this. Rabbi Yosef HaGalili expounded, I will give thanks to you, for I am awesomely and wondrously made. Come and see how God's way is unlike the way of flesh and blood. It is the way of human beings to plant seeds in a single row, and each seed yields its own species. But Hashem forms a fetus in the woman's womb from the seeds of the father and the mother, yet all are born of the same species. Having depicted the frailty of man, the Singha comes to the realization that man does not know, and that the end purpose of knowing is to become aware that one does not know. Thus he says, I will give thanks to you, for I am awesomely and wondrously made. I will thank you for my having reached the state of mind that I am astonished at your handicraft and am aware how wondrous are your works. When I know enough to be astonished, then my soul knows very well. By being aware of its astonishment, the intellectual faculty comes to know a great deal. Pasuk 15. Lo nichad otzmi mimeko asher usesi vaseser rukamti besachtios oris. My physical frame essence was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was knit together in the lowest parts of the earth. Having depicted the formation of man's soul, the Singha describes the formation of man's body and soul together. This was made in secret. My body was not hidden from you when I was made in secret in the concealed place of my mother's womb, when I was knit together in the lowest parts of the earth. The latter refers to the womb, a low and dark place resembling the nethermost parts of the earth. When I was in my mother's womb, I was knit together and formed by many kinds of comely forms. The present pasuk is thus a continuation of what the Singha said earlier. When speaking of the fetus in the mother's womb, he says, not only do you supervise the fetus in its mother's womb, but you also know about the formation of the infant from its very beginning, at the time of impregnation. You know it from the very first instant. The Singha also alludes to the fact that the formation of a human being comes about through passion of the flesh in a base location. I was made in secret when I was knit together in the lowest parts of the earth. Similarly, our sages describe a woman as the ground of the world. Pasuk 16. Golmi ro'u einecho ve'alsificho kulam ikosevu yomim yutzoru v'lo echad behem. Your eyes saw my unshaped substance, and they are all written in your book. They are formed in many days, and not one of them, and to him, is one of them. Your eyes saw my unshaped substance. This refers to the body before it is formed and knit together by organs, for they are all written in your book. This book is a metaphor for the godly intellect. That is, all creatures were formed in accordance with his understanding. The features of the body are formed in many days, and not one of them. The body is not formed all at once. According to our sages, the present verse depicts the formative stages of the fetus. At the outset, the embryo resembles a kind of locust. Its two eyes are like two droppings of a fly. Its two ears are like two droppings of a fly. Its two arms are like two silken threads. Its mouth is as small as a barley. Its body is like a lentil, and the rest of its organs are compressed with an unshaped mass. Thus the Singha says, your eyes saw my unshaped substance. Some say that the unshaped substance refers to the sperm which is solely body substance, with nid are shaped the organs. They are all written in your book. They all appear.